Amen, and good morning. Good to see you again, and what a wonderful time of worship we've already had. And I thank you, worship team, so much for leading us right to the altar to give worship and praise. I feel like the message is almost superfluous. We could take the communion service. My heart has been led to that point of worship. And thank you for the offertory, Brian and Taylor. A new duet, I understand, recently married, and that's wonderful. Make music together for the Lord in all your life, whatever he has, just do. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 39 this morning as we just take a brief look at this next psalm. We were in Psalm 37 last week. It should be easy to find. It's just two pages or one page to the right, Psalm 39. Several years ago, my wife and I were at a church on a Saturday night and didn't have anything to do, so we looked into their church library and found a DVD called The Bucket List. I think most of you folks remember that. Maybe some of the younger people don't, but it was a movie, and it starred Jack Nicholson playing a multimillionaire, and then we had Morgan Freeman, who played Carter, who was a very humble mechanic. And they were perfect strangers, and they met together at the hospital, and they both had cancer, and they both got the news that it would be just about a year for their prognosis. And so the story is the building of a rather sarcastic relationship between this multimillionaire and this poor mechanic. The millionaire had made a wreck of his personal life and his family, and the poor mechanic seemed to have a pretty good family. Well, the multimillionaire that could afford to do anything that he wanted to do said, let's not let this news ruin our life. Let's make a bucket list of the things we'd like to do before we kick the bucket. And so they make up a list of the things they thought they'd like to do, and it included things that perhaps aren't the most important things, but seemed like they'd be fun things for them to do. So I'm not recommending that you see the DVD, and I'm not recommending those actors as any kind of a role model, but this is a perfect jumping-off place for Psalm 39. The idea of Psalm 39 is making priority decisions and living life with purpose. And we just sung about that. All that I do, Lord, I want to do for you. So Psalm 39 verse 4 starts out, David saying, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days, and let me know how fleeting my life is. And so this psalm is a reminder of how short life is, how fleeting it is. And when you think about your life and you look back at the past and you think about some of the things you did or didn't do, and the remaining short time that you have left, what this psalm should do and what this message is intending to do is make you, in the reality of the brevity of life, live life by priority and by purpose. My wife and I have a favorite gospel song. It's one that's not well known. Lord, help me slow down this life of mine. Help me make better use of precious time. Let me taste the grapes. Help me tend the wine. But Lord, help me make better use of precious time. So, you know, this message is not for you to make a new resolution. Like at the end of the year, the first of the year, people make these New Year's resolutions. They're always about the same. Be more spiritual, get out of debt, be more organized, spend less time on the internet, spend more time with the family, be a better person, quit drinking, quit smoking, exercise, and number one always is, lose more weight. So there are things we'd like to do to change our life, get our life fixed up. Now let me give you a warning. You need to be very careful when you get life fixed up to where you think you want it. I'm reminded of a middle-aged lady that was taken to the hospital with chest pains, and she had to have emergency surgery, had a heart problem. And as she was under the ether, she had a life's death experience. She had a vision. And in this vision, for our illustration, she saw Peter. And she said, "Is this my time?" He said, "No, you have 43 years, 8 months, and 2 days left." Well, the next thing you know, she came out of the anesthetics, and she thought, "Well, if I have that much time longer to live, I want to make the best of it." And so she went to the plastic surgeon, and she got some cosmetic surgery. She had a nose job and a facelift and liposuction and tummy tuck. The doctor unsagged all the sagging places and tightened up all the loose places. And then she went to the cosmologist. She had a new hairstyle. She had her face painted. She got new body tans, her nails done, toes done, and all that stuff. And when she got all dried and fixed up from that, and she bought some new clothes, she walked out of that store right in front of us, and it hit her, and she died. When she said to Peter, "I thought I had 42 years," he looked up surprised. He says, "Oh, I didn't recognize you." So be careful when you think you've got life all fixed up as you want it. This bucket list is not things that maybe you'd like to change in life. It is at the end of your life, what have you placed in your bucket? What are the things that absolutely should be done before you meet the Lord? Think about it. Edward and Carter wanted to go skydiving and kiss the prettiest girl or boy, drive a sports car and climb the highest mountain. No, those are not the things we're talking about. Now, we have an outline that I gave to you. I want to walk through that and hopefully point out some things that will be helpful to you as we zero in on this matter of living life with purpose in light of the fact it's brief. So why do a bucket list? People say, "Well, that's depressing, isn't it? We ought to be cheering people up. I mean, who wants to think about kicking the bucket? Shouldn't we be focusing on positive things?" Last week when I met with the board and they were doing their responsibility of vetting whoever might come and be in the pulpit, and they were asking a number of questions and I was given a number of answers. It was a good meeting. I enjoyed it. But one of the things that somebody mentioned just offhand as far as what I would be doing here, one of the things mentioned is, would I be doing funerals? And I gave a response. Well, in my first church, we had about 50-some funerals. So I have a lot of experience doing funerals. But I got thinking about that question. It kept in my mind. It sort of steered me into this passage because, you see, all preaching is public counseling. What I'm giving to you is a pre-funeral arrangement today. What do you want to have accomplished? What would you like to have said about you? I don't know if you read the Facebook, but Jordan gave a wonderful eulogy of his grandpa. What would you like to have folks saying about you when it was all done? Well, David is reminding the Lord in verse 5. He says, "You have made my days a mere handbreadth." That's the width of a hand in comparison to the timeline of eternity. "You've made my life like a handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." Selah. That means, think about that. Don't just let that pass through your brain and out your ears. Think about that. Stop and think about that. He's reminding us of the shortness of our life in light of eternity. And so I need to have some volunteers to come up here and help me to demonstrate this. And I think that I have Chuck and Tammy and Justin. Did I have anybody else? I don't think so. So if you'd come up here, please. You see, you're all familiar with a yardstick, right? Chuck, Justin. So how many inches on a yardstick? 72. So if each half inch is 1 year, each inch is 2 years. Now think carefully. There is a book in the Bible called Numbers. We're going to think about Numbers. Each inch is 2 years. There are how many years on this yardstick? 2 times 36. 72. That equals our lifespan. Okay? How fast life passes. Now, Justin, on your yardstick, put your finger by your life. How many, how much of your life is already gone? Wowdy-dowdy. Whoo! Now, you folks are a little older than Jordan are thinking, my, oh, my. Well, now, let's look here at Tammy. It's not polite to ask a lady her age. But just kind of put your hand right there. We'll cover the number. Look at, that's all. In light of that, what do I want to accomplish in my life? In the bottom of my resume, I said to the church, I don't know if I said, we're old folks. If God can use us any place for anything, we just want to be there and for him to do it. And so Chuck, oh my. We got to go back to the bone pile. Woo-wee.
Wow, I'm over time.
He ran out of time. Well, this is a 48-incher. And, wow, Chuck goes up here. 90. Wow. I don't have a ruler hardly long enough for him. Somebody help this old man to the seat. You can take those rulers with you. You may take those rulers with you because I want you to put that in your prayer closet, and Chuck, you'll have to add to yours. I got on the net and I read the Three Rivers newspaper. I want to see what's going on. You know, this week they're having the high school class 1956 through 62. Anybody here in that category graduated 1956 to 62? My hand's up. I graduated 1956. Never been back. But I noticed in the obituary, you teachers of young people, there was an obituary for a six-year-old boy died by drowning. You folks that are teaching kindergarten below, you think you have forever? I had a young grandson die at 9 months. What I'm saying is we're not promised this. Ordinarily speaking, you might look at about 72 to 80 years. You teenagers, you're teaching teenage class. You get out of high school, that's how much you got left. You think your life is just starting? No, your life is, a lot of it's already gone. This is pretty sobering, isn't it? We had a funeral for a 13-year-old boy drowned at one of our youth activities. Well, that's hard. Well, you think if you get out of college, you get married, time you're 30, that's it. Want to raise your hand if you're 30? Ooh, life is fleeting. It's going fast, isn't it? So you think, well, if I get my kids out of high school, then I can have all kinds of things that I want to do. Well, that's right about there. That's how much is left. 40 years old, that's how much is gone. We had a deacon, a wonderful deacon in one of our churches, loved the Lord, served the Lord, kids in Christian school, just a wonderful fellow. Got a brain cancer. He's gone in a year. It's not a guarantee. It's just saying you ought to realize that every day passes, that's one day less, and you're fast headed towards the end. Well, you think, well, if I get my kids out of high school, get them out of college, enjoy my grandchildren, ready to retire, now I'm really going to live. That's how much you got left. Only one life. It'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Where are you putting your priorities in life? That's what this psalm is all about. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when those hands will stop, at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. But to lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. It's important that you listen. We sang some wonderful songs. Here's my life, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. I've decided to follow you. So David prayed and asked God to show him. And verse 5 says, You have made my days a mere handbreadth. You have out there in front of your church Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. What he's saying is that you are from everlasting, and what am I on that timeline? I'm not even a dot, just a handbreadth. It's a very small measurement. It's going to go fast compared to eternity. And all we have is right now. And so we need to make a priority. Don't put off what is important for what is urgent. The things that you feel are urgent are always going to keep you from priority living. I want you to live with life on purpose. So David says, teach me, help me to understand. And he backs up. If I go to verse 1, he says, it's going to make a practical effect on me. If I realize that I only have this brief moment in life, he said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. He says that even my conversation will be affected, because it's very easy to gossip rather than spread the gospel. It's very easy to get caught up in the world matters rather than matters of eternity. It's easy to talk about politics, but not about God's passion for lost souls. I mean, if you understand how quickly life goes and you belong to the Lord and you want to serve the Lord, He is Lord of your life, it'll impact the way you speak, who you speak to, what you say when you speak to them. So a bucket list will cause you to be intentional about what really matters. What would you like people to say about you at your funeral? I heard about three fellows that were talking about that particular subject. And one fellow said, I'd like them to say he was a great humanitarian. He cared about his community. The other guy said, he was a great husband and father. And he was an example for all of us. The last one said, I'd like him to say, hey, look, he's moving. I get another chance. This is what this message is. Listen, you still have a chance to really serve God, not just sing about it. To really show that He's your Lord, not just get emotional about it. So counselors have something that they call the miracle question. You know, after all everything has been discussed about, they say, you know, if you were to wake up tomorrow and by some miracle your life was just exactly what you want it to be, what would your family look like? What would your personal life look like? What would your faith life look like? And then the real clincher is, what's keeping you from doing that now? It's just a decision. It's a decision to recognize time and live by priority. Live by purpose. So what's in your bucket list? What are your priorities? Now, I think we need to talk about this matter, because what we say are our priorities often are not actually our priorities. What we say are our priorities will be spiritual things, most important things. Unfortunately, our lives really don't reflect that. We really do live what our priority is. What we say our priorities are, and they're generally spiritual matters, we don't live. Let me tell you how to tell what your real priorities are. Where do I spend my time? Where do I spend my money? And what do I think about most often? That will reflect what your actual priorities are. And so things are popping into your mind about those three questions. What we want, and what this message to do would, should do, is cause you to evaluate what your real priorities are and make them. Make them the priorities of your life. And it will change what, where you spend your time, where you spend your money, and what you think about. It's a matter of a change of your attitude and heart. So what's in that back, bucket list? James 4, 13 and 17. You're saying, well, I thought it was my bucket list. I thought I could put on there what I want to have in my bucket list. Well, let me see if I can find James here. Somebody moved it in my Bible. Here we go. James says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go here or there, to this city or that city, and spend a year and carry on and do business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. So when you're talking about your bucket list and it ends up that your real priorities in light of eternity are to live for the Lord, that ought to change your life. Now, first consideration is, what does God want me to do? And second consideration is, don't limit God. Don't say, well, that's impossible. Because with God, all things are possible. I want you to turn to Psalm 90. And I apologize to whoever's running the PowerPoint up there, because I'm cutting things to get through on time. I'm learning how to do that here. That's a priority in my life. It's a spiritual goal I have, is to get done on time. So here we go to Psalm 90. And down in verse 10, Moses has this to say. The length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Well, I heard on WFUR one Saturday morning, I was out cleaning the garage, and I heard a guy talk about numbering our days. It says, teach us to number our days. So if you were to take 365 times 80 years, which some of us almost are, Brother Jerry, that means we would have 29,200 days. But I'm just 78, so I've already used 28,470. I have 730 days to go. That's it. That helps me to put a priority on what I need to do, because I have a short time left. Now, as I already demonstrated, this is not a promise, and you all know that. And so the guy in the radio says he went out and he got a bunch of marbles. For me, I would get 730, which there are not that many here. I stole these from my grandson, Charlie, and he didn't have that money. And every day, take a marble out. Every day, take a marble out. It will show you, you don't have time just to fool around and do what's nice or fun. You need to do what's important, right? What's important in your life? I saw in a magazine, I think it was a money magazine some years back, they advertised this clock dead ahead. What you do is you take your gender and your age and you put that in there and it calculates and it figures how much time you have left and it counts backwards. And of course you see that time approaching when you're going to meet the Lord. It causes you to live with priority, really. So, what are your priorities? Now he goes on in our text, if I go back here to Psalm 39. Verse 6 says, a man is a mere phantom. Let me go back to verse 5. You've made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom as he goes to and fro. He bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. And so we spend a lot of our life in that matter of getting and gaining and going about gathering things, accumulating things. All you have to do to accumulate things is to live. Junk will accumulate to the space that you provide for it. What I want to tell you is now at my early age, my short time of life, what I've noticed, the last 25 years of your life is getting rid of things. Getting rid of things. Moms, get rid of stuff before your kids have to do it and laugh about all the junk you accumulated. And so, you know, you get to a certain age and you sell your big house, the kids are gone, and you move downsize, you got to get rid of stuff. And then you move to Florida or someplace and somebody gets sick and you got to move to a smaller place near the hospital and you get rid of stuff. And then somebody passes away and the remainder comes home, the widow or widower get near the kids and she gets rid of stuff. And then pretty soon something happens and you go to the nursing home and you get a little bit of a room with a chair and a bed and comforts that they can be provided, but you get rid of stuff. And then you get a little suitcase and you move to the next level of care and you get rid of stuff. And then you end up and somebody settles your estate and it's a little box about that size. It's all the paperwork and you keep that on your shelf for a while, settling the estate. I mean, life is getting rid of things. You accumulate and accumulate and the stuff you accumulate so precious to it doesn't mean a thing to your kids. They don't want all those photographs. Forget it. Try to give them to them. They don't want them. If it's not on a phone, put it on a, get it on a CD or something. Anyway, all I'm saying is life is short. Don't spend your life accumulating things. Don't make that your goal. It's going to happen anyhow. Put your life in what matters. So he says in verse 7, "But now, Lord, what do I look for? What do I wait for? My hope is in you. My hope is in you." We need to realize that. That that's where our real eternity is. It's in the Lord. There's an old Jewish proverb that says that every man knows he'll die, but no one wants to believe that it'll be soon. So recognize it. Life passes fast. And our hope is not in our possessions. Our hope isn't even in this place of worship. Our hope is in the Lord. And that's a personal hope. I'll tell you one thing for sure. I can guarantee you the one thing that you regret more than anything for all eternity is if you did not receive God's gift of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never made that decision, do not put it off till tomorrow because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Right now, do business with God who offers you salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and without Him, there is no salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you are lost. You're without eternal life. You're bound to go out in eternity and spend eternity apart from God. Accept His gift of salvation, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you would make your message plain to everyone here. In light of the brevity of life, there is no promise about tomorrow. This important moment of decision, when they hear that God, You have offered free and full salvation through Jesus Christ and his atoning work at Calvary. His death, burial, and resurrection has satisfied you in the matter of sin. And you're inviting people to come to you through him. Right now, today, may there be those who make that decision and receive you. We're praying, and every eye is closed, every head's bowed. People are praying that God would speak to your heart. If God has touched your heart today, you need to receive Jesus Christ, God's gift. Invite him into your heart right now. Just in your own words, say, oh, God, I need Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I receive him into my heart and life. I trust him right now, him and him alone, for my salvation, for now and for eternity. Just pray a simple prayer to that effect. And if you've prayed that today, first time you've made a decision for Christ, I want to pray with you, pray for you. I want to meet you and help you. Just slip up your hand. I won't embarrass you. I just want to see that I might speak to you and help you, take you to the Word of God and settle it and seal it for now and forever. So, Father, I pray as we continue and we close this service that this message from the Holy Spirit through your Word would touch lives and hearts, and that alone would change our lives and this church. Make us a powerful lighthouse for the gospel for Jesus Christ. In his name I ask it. Amen.